Good evening. You're listening to 88.5 KRFY. This is Panhandle Community Radio, and it's time now for Know Your States, Know Your Community. I'm Jack Peterson. I'm here with Jim Healy. And every week on Wednesdays, we're talking to representatives from each of the 50 states in the country who now call North Idaho home, or if not home, at least have some connection to our area now. The format is such that we talk to two people per night, one from each of two states, and we are moving on now to, for the first time, we're actually talking to somebody not in the studio, but on the telephone, someone who's calling in from the Sunshine State, the third most populous state in the country with a population of a whopping 23 million people. The 27th state in the country, which joined the United States on March 3rd, 1845. We're talking about the state of Florida with a Floridian who is in Florida right now. Daniel Strauss joins us via telephone. Hi, Daniel. Thanks for being here.
Hi there. Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Thanks for being there, I guess. This is exciting. This is the first time we're talking to somebody about this state, who's actually in the state as we speak. Where do we find you right now, Daniel? Where are you located?
I'm in Jensen Beach, Florida, which is considered the Treasure Coast. It's in Martin County, which is just north of Palm Beach County. We're on the East Coast. We're not South Florida, but we're not Central Florida. We're right on the edge. For example, we get palm trees. If you go any farther north than the Treasure Coast, it freezes once a year, and there's no palm trees up there.
I didn't know that. That's interesting. So you're sort of like the cutoff of where palm trees go northward.
That's right. There's no palm trees north of the Treasure Coast, and that would be north of, like, the northern part of the Treasure Coast is Vero Beach in Indian River, and then there's St. Lucie County in the middle, and then Martin County, which is where I grew up and where I'm a native of. And now I consider Sandpoint home. I've considered Sandpoint home for about 20 years now.
Okay.
But I consider myself a Florida native. My father, with my brothers and I, three boys, moved from McKeesport, Pennsylvania to Stuart, Florida, which is right next to Jensen Beach. It's like Ponderay and Sandpoint, right? Intertwined communities right next to each other. So we moved here in 1971. I was only 3 years old.
Remember the move.
I'm sorry, not 3 years, 3 months.
Three months. Okay. Even more so, you wouldn't remember it.
Right. I definitely consider myself a Florida native. I spent the first 18 years of my life here before going off to college, and I've spent significant time here ever since. You want me to tell you a little bit more about my area, the Treasure Coast? Would you like me to tell you a little bit more about the state of Florida? You asked me some questions.
Let's start with your roots. You've mentioned the phrase Treasure Coast. What does that mean?
So it's the Treasure Coast because back in the day, back in the 1700s, 1800s, even the 1600s, the main form of travel was by ship.
Okay.
And there were, in the 1600s and 1700s, there were Spanish and other European galleons coming from mostly Central and South America, loaded full of silver and gold. And we get our name, and they would come, after they left the Caribbean, they would come up the coast of Florida because that's the way the Gulf Stream comes. That's why the water's warm here, because you can see the path of the hurricanes coming across from Africa. That's why our water's warm, because that's the way the patterns of the ocean go. Our ocean current comes from the east, from equatorial Africa. And then as soon as it hits the Florida Strait, it goes northward. So the ships that were in the triangle trade or other trade between the Americas and Europe and Africa, they would, when they were returning to Europe, they would come hug the coast of Florida and take that the Gulf Stream straight north up until they got to about Virginia or so, and then they would head east, and that's where the current would take them back towards Spain or England. Now, we got the name Treasure Coast specifically from a, I don't know the date, but in the 1800s, there was a treasure fleet of 11 ships from Spain that were loaded with gold and silver, and we have rocky reefs off of our coast, and if a hurricane hit, which it did, it sunk the treasure fleet, and all along the Treasure Coast, there are sunken treasure ships, of which they just found one recently in Vero, less than a year ago. They made a major find. So that's where we get our name. And one other little interesting thing about this is that not only are they still finding small findings, but this was a big one. This was a big find. But we had, in the 1800s, the United States built 11 houses of refuge along the coast of Florida, specifically for this reason. Florida was completely undeveloped. This was before air conditioning. Florida was a big swamp. And all of the travel in Florida until the 1900s, the late 1800s when Flagler built the railroad, and then the 1930s and 40s when they finally got air conditioning, it was all traveled by ship along the coast. And also to go from the east coast to west coast of Florida, it was through riverways. But they built, it wasn't the U.S. Coast Guard at the time, but it became the U.S. Coast Guard. They built 11 houses of refuge along the coast of Florida. And the purpose of this was for sailors who got shipwrecked. Those that survived, every 15 or 20 miles, there was a house of refuge that was manned by a family that lived there in very, very difficult conditions. And we in Martin County at Gilbert's Bar, we have the only remaining house of refuge of the original 11. It's still standing.
Still standing. Is it being used?
Yes. It was purchased by the county and preserved as a historic monument. And you can visit it, and they've restored it, and it's still there. We have the barrier island called Hutchinson Island. It's between, Hutchinson Island is just south of us across our inlet is Jupiter Island.
Okay.
To give you a reference point.
Okay.
And so between this barrier island, there is and what's different about our waterways in our area compared to South Florida. In South Florida, the waterways are like canals. They're tiny. But here, our waterways are like Lake Pendre. They're like a mile wide. So we have a very unique thing in our town called the Indian River Lagoon. And it is an estuary, and it's the area between the inlet, the barrier island, and the mainland. And it's about a mile wide, and the House of Refuge is on that barrier island. But it's an estuary because when it's high tide, the crystal clear blue-green ocean water comes in and mixes with the fresh water of the river, the St. Lucie and Indian Rivers, and that creates brackish water, which is a very unique ecological thing, this brackish water. We next to the Amazon Basin, I think we are the third most biodiverse estuary in all of the Americas, meaning we have more species of flora and fauna than anywhere in all of North America, than maybe one or two other places. So we go paddleboarding. I grew up there on the coast, on the river, fishing, canoeing, and now we're kayaking and paddleboarding. But you know, we see every day, we see manatee in the river. We see dolphin. The sharks actually breed in this estuary, so the young sharks live the beginning of their lives there. We have a very unique ecosystem, like I said, with turtles and leopard rays and amazing number of birds. And the ecology is absolutely stunning and amazing. And if I can segue into that to the Everglades, can I do that?
You talk about the Everglades a little bit? Yeah, sure. Let's talk Everglades. Yeah.
The Everglades is more, it's definitely South Florida, but it's Central Florida.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically below Orlando and west of Miami, and it's the third largest national park in the whole country. It's huge. And it's unique for many reasons. It's the largest subtropical wilderness in the United States. It's the only place in the world where alligators and crocodiles live in the same habitat.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that there were crocodiles.
Mm-hmm.
We have crocodiles and we have alligators, and we grew up in the river water skiing, like I'm sure they grew up in the 70s in Lake Pendre water skiing. And there would be alligators on the banks of the river back before it was all the river was developed with, you know, big houses now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we were 13, 14 years old. We didn't understand any of this, but the big alligators, I mean, we're talking 12, 14-foot alligators. They're all sunning themselves up on the riverbank.
Uh-huh.
And the motorboat noise scares them, and they charge into the river. And, you know, you're behind the boat water skiing, and you're like, oh, my goodness, they're coming to get me.
Well, that's what I would think today.
And we're scared to death.
Yeah. That doesn't sound very safe to be water skiing in alligator-infested waters.
Well, it actually is. Alligators don't hunt actively. They just sit by the riverside and they wait for a fish or a bird, or unfortunately a dog or a small child, unfortunately, once a year, to walk right in front of them. They're cold-blooded. They're basically dinosaurs. They've been around forever.
Yeah.
But they don't go hunting. They don't come chasing us. And we didn't know that. I wish we did, because I'm still afraid of them. The Everglades is also home to, just to wrap that up, it's also home to the Florida panther, the Florida black bear.
That's right. That's right.
There's deer. There's raccoon. There are amazing diversity in the Everglades. And so the black bear, the manatee, bottlenose dolphin, the bobcats, turtles, and this is all under threat. Unfortunately, people have brought in snakes illegally that they buy from South America, like pythons and boa constrictors. And when they get too big, they've actually released them into the Everglades, and they have no natural predators, and they are devastating.
Yeah.
Like the deer population is down 30%, the raccoon population is down 40%. So it's a really big deal. And the other big deal is, you know, Walt Disney did a pretty amazing thing when he built Orlando, but we just wish he built it on the coast, because he built it in the center of the state, which used to be nothing but cattle, ranching, and citrus. Orlando then became a huge metropolitan area, and now all of those homes and golf courses and all of the nitrogen and fertilizer, that's all seeping down, unfortunately, into the Everglades, and is really adversely impacting the health of the Everglades National Wilderness Area. But it's an amazing thing. Mm. You had asked me about the difference between East Coast and West Coast of Florida.
We did, yeah, before we started the
before
recording.
Before we started, mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Can we segue into that?
Sure. Because we got lots more we want to ask you about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'll try to make it quick. So Florida's a really big place. It's not just East Florida, East Coast, West Coast. There's Central. There's the Keys, which has its own culture. It's got I think, the third largest coral reef system in the world. And it has its own culture, great seafood. It's an amazing place to visit. Excuse me. The east coast of Florida versus the west coast, the biggest difference is that on the east coast, it's we get rough waters and we can surf. We grew up surfing.
Hmm.
And the deep sea fishing is phenomenal. Stuart used to be called the sailfish capital of the world. The deep sea fishing here, people come here just like people come to Idaho to hunt. People come here to Central and South Florida to go charter fishing for sailfish and swordfish and all kind of marlin. It's a big deal. But the water gets rough. It's the Atlantic coast. But in the summer, it's calm and beautiful. You know, the Bahamas is only 30 miles east of where I grew up. So the waters can be very calm, beautiful and calm in the summer. Now, on the west coast, it's the Gulf. Mm-hmm. So the water's pretty calm. It has white sandy beaches, and it gets storms, of course, but in general, it's a much more calm environment, and that's the whole west coast. It's got white sandy beaches, and as you go farther north up the coast, of course, you get more towards Louisiana and, mm-hmm. and the mm-hmm. ecology, everything changes. And last thing I want to say about the history of Florida, and then I'll let you guys ask questions, is St. Augustine is
right.
the northeast. It's a city on the northeast edge of Florida. Florida used to be, it was, I believe, the last Spanish possession, mm-hmm. you know, back in colonial times. And Spain held on to Florida for a long, long time until eventually the United States, I think we earned it or took it after the Spanish-American War. I can't remember the exact detail, but St. Augustine, what's special about St. Augustine is that it's the oldest town or city in the United States that has been continuously inhabited. So it was built in the 1500s. And it's still standing, and it's still got the old forts, the old Spanish forts, and it's a really cool, interesting place.
I didn't know that. Of course, Jim did. He knows everything.
There's a postage stamp on it. Daniel, I'd like to ask you, you said you grew up until from 3 months to 18 years, and then you went off to school. Did you ever go through a hurricane?
Yes, we went through hurricanes. Hurricane David was the first one I went through, and this was back in the day where we had to board up our windows with plywood.
Okay.
And so, yeah, the weirdest thing about a hurricane is you sit there and watch it on the news just slowly coming towards the Caribbean, and you have no idea. It could come straight, hit you direct. It could turn north. It could stay its course and then go up into the Caribbean, up into the Gulf like it did with Katrina.
Mm-hmm,
so you just
mm-hmm.
sit there and wait, and it's this spooky thing to just sit there and watch this thing. But yes, I was about 10 years old, and it was Hurricane David, 1980, so I was 9 years old. We had to board up the whole house, and all the trees bend in one direction until the eye hits, and when the eye hits, you can go outside, and then once the eye passes, the trees are all now bending in the other direction, and at the end of the hurricane, when it's gone, then it's just a big cleanup job.
Okay. Now, did you and your family drive away from the area, or did you sit inside the boarded home?
We stayed inside the boarded home.
What was that like?
It was strange. You know, this was 1980. We had the radio. We had water jugs filled. We did not have a generator. We knew power was going to go out, but we didn't know for how long. We didn't know how bad it was going to be. It was not a terrible hurricane. It wasn't like Andrew that hit Miami. Mm-hmm. That changed everything.
Mm-hmm.
Once
mm-hmm.
that happened and it devastated Miami, now we have now the code, now when you build a house, like the house we live in now, all the windows are hurricane. We don't even need shutters. They're hurricane rated windows. And you can sit through a hurricane, which I have now done as an adult, sitting through a hurricane and just watching it. It's absolutely amazing. Now, the house I grew up in from age 8 to 18 was ruined by Hurricane Jean and Francis.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Now, it didn't demolish it, but it ripped off about half the roof, and then it rained for, 3 weeks, and, we have mold issues like Idaho does, so there was no rebuilding the house. We demolished the house, and my oldest brother rebuilt a home on that same parcel we grew up on. He raised his family there, which was nice.
Well, let's see. What have we? Time flies by, doesn't
food,
it?
Food.
Food of Florida, yeah. Also, go ahead.
The seafood's amazing. We have fresh fish as much as we want, and it's just fantastic. Mm-hmm. Fresh caught fish. The lobster, we used to go lobstering all the time. We could go catch lobsters right here, right off the coast. Now we can't do that. Just because the population has been decimated. But we go down to the Keys and go lobstering. But there's strict rules. They have to be a certain size.
Right.
And they're hard to catch. You can't do it with scuba gear. It's a real sport. You got to dive down and hold your breath and find them hiding under rocks. And there's a whole art and science to it. But you're out in a boat with your friends, lobstering and spearfishing, and then you come back and dock your boat and camp out, and you feast on lobster and fresh fish. It's quite the experience. Other cuisine in Florida, citrus was big. We're having a big problem with citrus right now. The citrus industry is really hurting for a variety of reasons. One is a disease. As you go farther to the Gulf, farther towards Louisiana, there's this Cajun cuisine. When you're down in South Florida, Miami has a very Latino Cuban. There was a big Cuban influence in culture and cuisine. So it's a big mix, and it depends on what part of the state you're in.
Florida, as we mentioned, I was a little surprised to read that it is the third most populous state.
Same here. I was going to ask about that. I would think like New York.
Yeah. New York, California. I think it goes
California, Texas,
and then Florida over, New York or Illinois.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at a map of Florida right now, and it does just look like basically where you are now, Jensen Beach, from Miami north through Fort Lauderdale, through Palm Beach, all the way really up to where you are. It looks like just one long stretch of inhabited.
That's exactly yeah. right. From Miami through Fort Lauderdale, all the way through Boca, Del Rey, West Palm Beach, that's all South Florida. And it used to be in the 70s and 80s when I was younger, you could drive, and West Palm Beach was separate from Del Rey, separate from Boca. You'd hit areas where on US 1, which is the main thoroughfare, where there's just, miles and miles of trees. Now it's all one big metropolitan area, and you really have to come to where we are to finally get a break, to where it's not all one big metropolitan thing. And then, probably 50% of the population of Florida lives in South Florida, either between Miami and West Palm, or on the other side, you've got Naples, Clearwater, the Tampa Bay. Those are definitely the vast majority of the population of Florida lives along the coast. The center central Florida is very rural. As I said, traditionally it's been cattle and citrus, although Walt Disney and Orlando development of that changed that portion of Central Florida. But I think to appreciate and to understand why, wow, it's the third largest population, you got to look and see how big it is. We have the, I believe, except for Alaska, we have the longest coastline, ocean coastline, if you include the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah.
Longer than any other state, even long, bigger than California. It's a big state.
Mm-hmm.
And growing up, like it's changed. Just like Sandpoint has changed a lot since the 20 years I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
The town I grew up in has changed tremendously.
Mm-hmm. How's the weather right now as we move towards
right
wrapping
now
up?
Is perfect. We're getting a cold spell. Everyone here is freezing. You know, low of 48 and high of 75 and sunny, and I'm in heaven.
Yeah.
I don't like the heat. I don't live down here for a reason. The summers here are terrible, but the winters are generally low in the 60s and high in the 80s, 70s and 80s. The winters are very, very nice here. January, February, March, April. The summers are humid and hot and brutal.
Yeah.
There's a reason I moved to Idaho. You know, I like the fact that it's not crowded. I like that it's a small town and people say hello and are friendly. And that has changed. It used to be like that in my hometown here. It's not like that anymore.
Yeah. I would think, I mean, when you were growing up, did you own such a thing as like a winter coat? I mean, what... Is it because you get no snow where you are? You mentioned the palm trees. No hard freezes at all.
No, maybe once every 10 years it'll get down to there'll be a freeze.
Yeah,
and you know people are out there covering their fruit trees and whatnot because they're not meant to survive it.
Yeah.
So no, I don't remember having. You'd have like a light rain jacket. Really, that's all you needed.
Yeah, that'll get you through the winter. Huh.
That'll get you through the winter for sure. I never owned a winter coat until I moved out west.
Huh. Well, that's an interesting aspect of life. We have gone, we've covered a lot of ground, but Florida's a big state, and we've gone pretty long here, so it's time to wrap up. Any final words of wisdom for us about Florida before we... Say goodbye, Daniel.
I guess my only words of wisdom are that if you want to visit Florida, don't go to Orlando or Miami. Go check out some of these other cool places like the Springs in Ocala or the beaches along the Treasure Coast or the history of St. Augustine. There's a lot to see and do here, but you gotta get off the beaten path to see the real. See the real Florida and eat the traditional food and have the real experience. So I wish I could tell you more. I wish we had more time and I could tell you more, but do you guys have any final questions for me?
Just simply enjoy your time down there and come back to us.
Yes. So I'm coming. I'm spending my 3 or 4 months of the winter here, mostly because of my father's elderly now.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
I have the ability to spend the time with him here. And I'm grateful for that. It's a blessing.
Well, what a good son you are.
I'm very thankful. I get to live in the Idaho mountains and I get to enjoy the beach in Florida in the winter. And, I'm a lucky man, and I'm lucky that my dad found Stewart and Jensen Beach, and I'm lucky that I found Sandpoint, Idaho, two wonderful places.
Well, you have an enjoyable time down in Florida, and even a better time back up here in Sandpoint when you get back up here. Thank you so much, Daniel, for
my pleasure.
And
for including me in your program.
Absolutely. You take care now.
Okay, have a good day.